Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey everyone, welcome to Abound in Hope, our season two. We're grateful to have you with us today as you listen to our podcast that we're doing as a listener request on the subject of boundaries and biblical boundaries. My name is Darren. I'm here with
Tom Regan.
And I'm Tom McGregor.
And I'm Rex Gorman.
And we are grateful for the questions that you've asked us to kind of talk about in our podcast. So again, this one's boundaries. McGregor, you know a little bit more about this question as well. What was it about?
Yeah, I've had a few questions about this. One, just kind of relating to interpersonal relationships and what is my responsibility versus the responsibility of somebody else versus the responsibility of both of us. And so typically that question comes up around codependency, taking responsibility for something that's not your responsibility. And where is the boundary line? And then the other one was kind of along the same lines, but more specific in regards to abuse. What is an appropriate boundary in my relationship with somebody who is an abusive person? And of course, there's a bunch of different categories of that, so it can become fairly complex. And we're going to do our very best to give you enough information and theological foundation to apply it in your life wisely.
It's funny because those
without
are
claiming
very
in any way that this is professional counseling.
Yeah.
And telling people
yeah.
what to
I am
do.
Not a counselor.
Yeah. Totally. Me either.
And those are very specific issues that probably at some level do need professional counseling, a couple of those anyway.
We're probably going to aim a little wider, think, here, while still trying to be helpful, I think.
Yeah, I think our job as pastors and church leaders is to bring biblical theology and the Bible into our lives and to remind us of that. And then out of that is supplemented by things like counseling. And so, you know, I love to take the first effort and just say, what does the scripture say about this? And what can we learn from what God says about who we are as humans and how he has created us to thrive as human beings as well? So I think that's where we'll start.
Okay.
I think there's two levels I think of in this, to go back to your question you just said a second ago. And the first one is we find ourselves at the mercy of other people's expectations of us, and it's kind of soul-destroying. And the other one is that we find ourselves at the mercy of our own expectations to us, which is also soul-destroying.
Yeah.
And so, for example, like a common greeting in the United States is when you see someone, you're like, hey, what's up? Or how are you? Or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. And the common answer is good.
Yeah, good. Are you answering that truthfully, you know, is the question. And while some people maybe answer that truthfully, which would be awkward, to be honest with you.
I think it could really suck the air out of a room.
If you're like, actually, you know.
This is the worst day of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is funny because I think if you were being honest, and that person, you would be like, well, I'm being controlled by others. I'm being manipulated. There's irresponsible people in my life, and other people have kind of control of me, if you will. And that is so binding. And that's a boundary that we need to have, in a sense, to not have those things. But if we were being honest on a personal level, that's one of the places where we would say, how are we doing? Well, I'm being controlled by other people.
Yeah. I think the other side of that, you mentioned, you know, demands we have on ourselves as well. I mean, I am one, my New Year's resolutions up until recently when I've stopped making them look the same, because it's make these huge lofty goals and then get disappointed in myself in February and be sad the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So it's not having proper expectations for yourself, not setting boundaries for yourself, trying to put expectations on yourself that are incredibly unhealthy.
Totally.
So,
and again, both are really tough, and they're things that I think at some level relate to our discipleship and walk with Christ and our view of who we are and what God has said about us. I relate to that one too, Rex, by the way. I'm usually less affected by other people's opinions of me and more affected by my own expectations of myself, you know? And that's not any better. That's the same thing. So at the end, there's probably multiple things going on. I mean, fear of man, performing for others, the need for feeling accepted or whatever it is. But I think at some level, these can also be related to the idea of boundaries and how we put up boundaries in our own lives to be healthy as people. So I would say, let's start with the very beginning of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Where do we see boundaries? McGregor, maybe you can kick us off.
Light and dark.
Wow. Genesis 1.
Yeah. Yeah, the first thing. Actually, even before then, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the heavens are different than the earth.
Mm-hmm.
and creation is different than non-creation.
That's
so
true.
It's like, in some ways, these categories that have a definitive edge to them begins at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then you go further on, and it's really interesting to know that God established a boundary for humanity in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Scripture says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Hmm. Seems like a boundary to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So like, boundaries are identifying factors, but also behavior categories.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. Flesh that out a little bit.
A human being is different than an animal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there are boundaries around identity,
yep,
of what it is and what it isn't. And those should influence expectations about what it is capable of or mm-hmm. not capable of, what it should and shouldn't do, what's good and bad for it.
Yeah. So the Lord gave to animals and humans different expectations of the way mm-hmm. they should live. And it's for their thriving, honestly. Yeah. It's for the good order of creation. I'm going to talk about that a little bit on Sunday, actually, in the Romans 1 passage, is how God's created everything orderly and how sin came in and destroyed mm-hmm. the order that God had created. But in Genesis 2, I mean, we see this in a negative way that God placed boundaries upon people to say, like, don't eat from this tree.
By negative, you mean a negative command.
A negative command.
Yeah,
not do not do this.
Yeah. Totally.
Not yeah, bad. Not negative in the sense of a bad thing. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But it's a negative command.
Yeah.
It's setting a limit.
And with it, there's a positive command behind it, whereas there's a whole bunch of trees in the garden that you can do. These are all the things you can do. You can thrive in this way.
Yeah. But don't eat this one lest you die.
But don't do this. And it's so funny because what does humanity do?
We do it.
Right. Well, Satan puts his finger on and draws the human's attention to the limitation and tries to make God look like he's not generous, like God's holding out on them. And that's the lie of Satan. And we still believe is like, well, if God has some parameters and some boundaries for our conduct, then he must be holding out on me because to be happy, I really want to transgress what God has said and my happiness is wrapped up in that. And that's the lie of Satan.
Hmm. Yeah. He must not care.
Yeah. He must not care. He must be holding out on me. And actually that boundary is out of love. Just like a parent puts boundaries around their kids out of love, like don't run in the street. I know that's kind of a generic example, but don't run in the street. Kid wants to run in the street. There's cars that can kill you out in the street. And so it's out of love that you set boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see God doing here.
Yeah. And it's for the best. I mean, that's the funny thing. I think we tend to jump into what we cannot have or what's not designed for us originally by God. And we say, that's going to make me more happy or that's going to fulfill me in some other way. When in reality, that's just going to the septic tank, if you will. Right. It's going to something that's completely outside of the great design that God has to help us thrive. And no wonder boundaries are so important because at the end of the day, if we break a boundary that God has given to us, not only is it transgressing the law of God and against, a sin against a holy God, but it actually destroys us.
It's like, destructive.
Yeah. It's destructive. Yeah. Like, for your own humanity, for your person, for your feeling, for your
purpose.
For your purpose. Yeah. Like psychologically, your makeup must be affected by that. Mm-hmm. There's probably studies on the psychological effects of sin upon people that are probably shocking, honestly, as we think about that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the relationship between an individual and God or humanity in general and God. But what about the interpersonal relationship and kind of the boundaries between you and me?
Yeah, it's great.
The boundaries between me and
Well, I think pointing back to Genesis 3, we start seeing boundaries as far as like this is, it says God created them male and female.
Hmm.
So like there are boundaries there. Like this is a male, this is a female.
Right.
This is the way this is identifiers. These are the way they're supposed to work. And these are good things. But you start seeing a breakdown of relationship at Genesis 3. When they break that one boundary, you start seeing, okay, well now there's this shame that comes in. You know, now I see my nakedness and I'm ashamed. We see the breakdown of a relationship happening there because boundaries have been crossed. So even there, right from the very beginning, we see a purpose that has been given by boundaries start to break down.
So let me ask you this: so God says, "What's going on?" And then what you're talking about starts to go into effect. Adam starts blaming the other person.
Yeah.
How could Eve have set up an appropriate boundary in that moment?
In that moment?
Yeah.
By owning it, maybe?
Yeah, or even going prior to that, I suppose there's an argument that Eve would have needed to go back to the word of the Lord about her and about yeah. humanity at the very beginning.
Yeah. Or Adam could have, you know, gone to that and regardless of what Eve was telling him about the fruit.
Yeah, it goes to what Tom was just saying a second ago about this idea that God surely must not be generous and good to me. So therefore he's holding back.
Yeah. Adam could have believed that, but he didn't set a proper boundary on his relationship with Eve.
So would it be fair to say that appropriate boundaries proceed from an accurate belief about who I am?
I think
and
so.
What I'm about?
I definitely think so.
Well, who you are in terms of who God, what God has said.
Accurate things. So I would agree with that, caveat, like accurate things about you from God's perspective.
Can you imagine if we lived according to what God says about us and not about our own flawed view of ourselves, our desire to please other people, our desire to make ourselves look good. Can you imagine the freedom that you would have, but how awkward it would feel on this side of eternity? You know, like I think you'd feel a little bit like
that's what's supposed to happen.
I know.
That's
true. I mean, I think we have an example of someone who lived that way.
Maybe, but you just don't see it like in humanity, right? You see it in the person of Christ.
Yeah,
of
that's
course.
What I meant.
thanks for the Jesus answer there, Rexington. Yeah, totally. Okay, back to McGregor's question here a second ago. So you'd said this is the boundaries that God has established in creation and in humanity. But so how do these go into interpersonal relationships is the question you're asking. What does that look like and how do they get down into the interpersonal relationships and how do we see boundaries there? I think a big comment that I would have about this or a thought that I would have us chase a little bit is that boundaries, I think, are related in many ways to self-control for us as people.
Okay.
It's an interesting idea. But go to Galatians chapter 5, if you will, and then into 6 as well. 5 gives us a list of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And these are the fruit of the Spirit that actually are shown by a person who is, let's just use our paradigm that we just did, is listening to what God says about who they should be and is actually living it out, you know? And so if you don't take responsibility for the self-control that you would have, you're going to allow someone else to control you or something else to control you or some idea, as we use the two categories at the very beginning. And so if a fruit of the Spirit is us being self-controlled, I wonder if that's a big piece of knowing how to create boundaries is learning what it means to be self-controlled. Even going in further into Galatians chapter 6, where it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Okay, this is an interesting passage. A couple things about it. Number one, we are called to bear one another's burdens, if you will.
I am my brother's keeper.
You are your brother's keeper. Yep, that's the question, from early on in Cain. And yes, the answer was yes, right? Yep. You know, and then it gives this kind of picture as well of you're called to your own work in this as well. And to boast in your own work because you're bearing your own load, you know. And so you have two things going on here, it seems like, besides there's probably more, but one is this calling for us to look towards other people, but also us to bear our own thing and not to be driven by other people's expectations of us or other than that. And I think that requires in us the fruit of the Spirit, the self-control to work out that a little
bit. Or can you say not to overly, not to have an unrealistic expectation of the load that somebody else should take, that's mine.
That's right. Yeah. That's even better. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause this one's really hard for me. Like the personal boundary is super easy. If you're thinking back to the states, you know, Oregon and Washington, two separate things. I want to draw the boundary at the border and I don't take responsibility for anything else. So I don't want to actually help anybody with their burden. And I'll take care of my load. Thank you very much. But there's this weird thing where there's boundaries that cross. And even with Oregon and Washington, you can see it. Like we both have a little part of the Columbia River. And so what happens in the Columbia River necessarily affects both states. And I think the same thing about me, like my boundary actually overlaps. There's part that's just me, mm-hmm. but then there's part of your boundary and my boundary that cross, and that's about us.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for me to live in that tension,
yeah.
which is what your passage is talking about.
Yeah. But to take it a little further, that boundary, if you're not careful, I mean, Oregon's not going to continue to creep into Washington, right?
Or
Washington's not going to creep into Oregon. And that's maybe. Important to know. That's where the self-control comes in, maybe. I would hope so, anyway. Yeah. Of course, if you're from the East Coast, you just think the whole thing's going to fall into the ocean anyway. But, you know, that's a whole other story. But at some level, you have to know those boundaries, and you have to know there is an intermingling of that in there, too. And I suppose that's where that piece of the puzzle comes in, where we have to be self-controlled. We have to know how God's created us. We have to know the things that God has put on our plate, if you will, to do. Otherwise, it creates problems.
Can I ask you guys something? Because it's feeling kind of...
Nebulous.
Nebulous. Can you like think of an example that's like a concrete example to like make it a little bit concrete?
I have a question that will help us do that. So thinking about a healthy relationship in a marriage... there is a part that's just me and my responsibility. Some of that's like taking a shower and brushing my teeth, even though that affects interpersonally. But then there's that us part. But then thinking about like an abusive relationship, that us part necessarily changes. So concretely, like, where is the healthy boundary in a place where the relationship has been broken?
Yeah, good. So that's not a statement. That's a question.
I'm asking.
One, I think that's where it comes to the idea of knowing to bear your own load, right? It says bear one another's burdens, but also carry your own load, if you will. I think at some level you have to be very wise about the things that you pull in from another person in order to have them, you know, in a sense, not have control over you, not have control over your emotions.
That's a great one.
Especially in a abusive relationship, there's got to be a level of knowing where you can go and saying, this is my state line, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to intermingle a little bit. It's going to get a little messy. But at some level I have to stop and say, this is as far as I can go to be healthy. And that's where the self-control thing comes in. Yeah. Because I think the human, especially some people who are, I think there's personalities out there that just want to be involved in the lives of others, in the drama of others or whatever it is. And maybe not even a bad way. Maybe it's a good way.
Could be that they want to be helpful.
Could be helpful.
But they end up taking on too much to themselves and they end up getting hurt in the process.
Yep. Yeah. And that's not a way of thriving. I think that's in some ways, not taking Galatians 6 seriously, right? Knowing what you're supposed to bear and what you're supposed to bear on other people.
Yeah. Well, I think even in, I don't want to get too weird, but like even in the Greek, there's kind of a clue into this, just with the words for, you know, burden in 6:2 or, and then the word for burden in 6:5. The word for in 6:5, it's a word that's used also often for like merchant, like ships, just like the thing that you are meant to carry.
The load.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the word for burden in 6:2 is often used to speak of like an oppressive load, like an overbearing weight. So there is a difference.
So you can't do it on your own.
That kind of thing. So there is part of that. Like, you know, there are things that, if you don't, this, I don't know, if you don't, do certain things for yourself, you're going to fall to pieces. You know, if I don't, getting super practical, if I don't shower, if I don't clean my house, I'm eventually going to die.
Get fired.
It's just what's going to, I'm also probably going to get fired. My wife's going to go somewhere else. So that kind of thing. But you know, if I get COVID, something like that, that is a burden that is heavy to bury, to carry. If I, you know, if we, my family, God forbid, walks through some kind of, health crisis or something like that, that is not a normal burden for me to carry. So there's parts of that. And again, I it can't be super clear cut, but I think you can also use wisdom to figure out where those lines are.
I heard it described once as, years ago, I can't remember who was speaking, but someone mentioned the idea that everyone has a plate of things that they can handle. And some plates are smaller and some plates are bigger, you know, And some people might be able to handle a ton of things, or you could probably even picture it as a person who can spin a bunch of plates at the same time, right? Maybe you can spin two plates. Maybe I can spin four plates or whatever it is. And at some level, you kind of have to know who you are. You kind of have to know who you're, what your personality is and what you can handle in bearing another person's burdens. Or you might end up under the crushing weight of another person's expectations and find yourself in a situation where you've actually crossed a boundary in a negative way. And that could be, that's knowing yourself. That's an answer that, that's a question that we can't answer in specific ways every time.
So taking this kind of back to some of the original questions, you know, we're talking about burdens that you can bury, burdens that are meant to be, you're meant to have help with. Mm. Talking about abusive relationships and boundaries, where should you set boundaries so that you're not, you know, being abused by taking on too much of a burden for someone, or if someone's trying to, you know, put a load on you you shouldn't take? Where should you set these boundaries? How does that look interpersonally?
Yeah, I think I will run. I'm
got a lot of wide eyes.
I'm talking a lot today. I think that's okay. We'll keep going. There's a book that was written by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, I think, years ago, called Boundaries. Some of you may have read it. I think I actually did read it a zillion years ago. It came out in like the early 90s or something like that. It sold a zillion copies. I don't know if you should read it or not. Don't hear me say that. But I do know there's something in it that talks about creating and allowing boundaries in your life. So this is some interesting Cloud talks about. He says there are two words that can change everything when it comes to boundaries. Number one is create. Number two is allow. So are you creating? So he says, most times, whatever state I find myself in, I am creating or allowing something to exist. And it's a good kind of paradigm to think about. So he says, am I creating something by taking on more than I actually have time and energy to do? Am I creating it by failing to plan and budget my time to attain the specific outcome I desire? Am I creating it by neglecting to figure out priorities and guarding them? And am I creating it by not ever clearly defining what I want to accomplish or have in the first place? So that's part one. And I wonder if we should just pause and talk about that for a second. Like, is that part of creating a boundary for yourself, is saying, what do I want to create? What do I want to actually, you know, to be a part of? And is that a good start to create a boundary? Is that healthy? Is that biblical? Let me ask that.
Yeah, I think maybe the create is a little bit of a recognizing exercise. You're recognizing what you're capable of. You know, like I always think of the guys that have the sacks of loot. You know, some guys have one sack of loot, some guys have five, and some have 10.
Yep.
How many sacks of loot does God give to me?
Yep.
And if I try to spend more than the five sacks of loot I have, I'm going to be in trouble, and that's not going to honor God. Mm-hmm. But if I bury a bunch and really only spend two sacks of loot, well, then that's also going to have the same effect. And so it's recognizing, but then there's the active part of that, the creating, doing something with that. Mm-hmm. What am I capable of? You know, bearing one another's burdens is something we're all called to do in a healthy church relationship. Mm. But the way that we bear one another's burdens is different based off of who we are and our relationship to one another. And so for, you know, you and your best friend going through suffering, like you might end up like watching their kids a lot and like taking on more of a burden, whereas I don't know them and I'm part of the church, but, you know, so I bring over a meal once. There are different categories of that. That's what great. I'm capable of, what I can recognize, and what I create.
Yep. Yeah. Well, then he says the other piece of it, which may be a little more poignant for people, is the idea of, are you allowing something? Mm-hmm. And so here's the things he says about this. Are you not saying no to other people's agenda without considering the cost of your own responsibilities, which kind of you just referred to in some ways, McGregor? Are you not confronting someone who is not pulling their load in a shared goal or project and consequently paying for their non-performance? That's kind of an interesting one. Like the idea of like, are you telling someone, hey, this is what your actions are doing to me and to the people around you? Man, that could be a good boundary setting kind of exercise, if you will. And he says, are you allowing it but not confronting or setting limits on bad behavior that is leaving a lot of trash or toxic fumes in my life or work? And finally, he says, if you look at other ways that we create or allow a lot of ministry and missed opportunities, the road back to creating boundaries is one word, and that's ownership. Which is kind of an interesting idea, you know, kind of those things. I think those are super practical things that we can actually ask ourselves as we're creating boundaries in relationships and creating boundaries in our lives as well.
My mind's going back to Rex's question about an abusive person. That's why I'm fairly silent, because I don't have much experience or expertise in that area. And I would think, so I'm just reflecting out loud here, is that if someone's in a situation with someone that's abusive, it can be really hard to see clearly, and you don't, you almost don't know what's normal, right? Yeah. Because you could have been living in that super dysfunctional and hostile environment for so long that you don't even realize that it's not normal for someone to dump all this stuff on you and treat you the way that they're treating you.
Yeah.
And you need Christian community. Here we come back to this theme again, to help, to have other people help you see what's normal and what's okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're living in isolation from godly people who aren't, don't have a voice in your life, then you're more likely to accept abuse and just endure it and not realize that they've completely violated what should be reasonable boundaries.
Yeah. And abusers are almost without exception master manipulators. And it's easier to prey on somebody who's been isolated. And so that's one of the first steps that an abuser will do. So if you, like, just hear me speaking to you directly, if you're experiencing abuse right now, if you find yourself isolated, like, how can we help? We, why don't you send me an email? We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
If you are in relationship or used to be in relationship with somebody that you suspect is being abused, let's talk about it. If you need resources, one of the best books that I've found that is theologically rich but also clinically informed is Mending the Soul by Steve and Celestia Tracy. Steve was a theology prof. I might still be doing adjunct work down at a seminary. I think it was a Baptist seminary in Arizona. And his wife, Celestia, was a PhD or a double master in psychology, specializing in abuse and trauma. That's an excellent resource that that you should check out.
Maybe part of just doing this podcast is simply uncovering things, not giving answers, but simply saying, hey, do you find yourself saying, yeah, I kind of relate to some of those things, or I wonder what that's like. And maybe that's the whole point of a boundaries podcast in a sense, is to say, yeah, I need help. I need someone to help me, and I need to get out of this, you know? Maybe we should end with a couple higher level things.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't been in the clouds the entire time, but so I think that I would propose a couple ideas, if you will, for us to practice as we think about boundaries. And these actually relate a little bit more to just our lives in general, not necessarily a specific relationship.
But daily living, how we live our
daily
lives.
Living, yeah.
And so wisdom in that.
What does it mean to be a person with self-control? What does it mean to be a person that has is thriving under the God-given boundaries that He has established for us as humanity? And so I think there's two ideas I'll give you, and I'll give them to you, and then we can talk about them. Number one is, think less about prioritizing and more about centering. And I mean that in terms of your life. So think less about prioritizing your life and more about centering your life. And secondly, think less about balancing your life and more about seasons of your life. And those are important. I think these are principles that I've thought through the years, and I just propose them to you as something to think about. So first of all, think less about prioritizing and more about centering. What do I mean? I think that people tend to compartmentalize their lives in between the things that they do. And they're like, I've got my church life, I've got my social life, I've got my religious or my relationships, I've got all this stuff. And they have to figure out how to prioritize those things in order to make them work, in order to make life work.
Yeah.
And so I think a better paradigm is to think, you know, instead of saying, like, I'm going to give, you know, my church life a number one, or I'm going to give my God life a number one, and I'm going to give my, you know, relationships a number two and things like that.
So, like, the word joy, Jesus, others, you. That's prioritizing Jesus first, others second, you last.
And when are you done with Jesus?
Yeah, that's the question,
that's
right?
Is like, I think that's
if
the question.
God, you prioritize. Right. Yeah. Yep. If you put, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying is that if you say, well, I need to put God first and then my marriage, don't those two like overlap and fuse in some way? Like, isn't your faith supposed to inform your marriage? And isn't loving your spouse a reflection of how you're loving God, right?
Yeah.
And so when do you stop? When do you know when it's time to move on from God to spouse? Like, how much time is enough time in Bible study before you start cleaning up your kitchen,
totally.
You know, or something like that.
Totally.
You know?
Yep. What if you live a more integrated life, right, in a sense? What if you actually have, instead of saying, I'm going to prioritize these things and put these things here, what if you say, I'm going to put everything that I do in terms of a category of the Christ is the center of all of my life.
So when you say centering, you're talking about Christ at the center of each thing.
Yes.
I've seen it illustrated. I think that's been helpful for me is like, imagine a wheel, like of a bicycle wheel.
Exactly.
And at the center is Jesus. And then you have all these spokes that come off, and you have your social life, you have church, and you have work, you have hobbies.
Yeah.
And Jesus is at the center of each one of those things rather than, you know, a prioritizing first to last kind of thing.
Totally.
Jesus touches every single one of those areas of your life.
Yeah, and I think that that's super biblical. I mean, that's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Mm-hmm. It's whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Yeah, like Philippians 4.
I wonder sometimes if we think in terms of prioritization because seek first the kingdom of God.
Right? Seek second.
So bad. Right?
So first kind of is a priority. And so I don't think we're saying it's not good to have a priority. By priority, we mean what is the most important. And Christ is the most important. God's kingdom, his kingdom is the most important.
Yep.
But that has to touch every aspect of your life. And
that's
so that
right.
needs to be at the center. And when you say centering, Jesus is at the center of that.
Yep.
And that Christ informs all those.
Good.
So how's that work out with the seasons versus...
Yeah, so if we're going to jump into part two, I think they do relate, interestingly enough. But let's talk about the second one real quick. Think less about balancing. I've heard that... before. I've heard people say, like, my life needs to be more balanced.
You balance know, sounds like spinning plates. I get this one going,
and then I'll add another one.
And then I got to come back to this, and then I got to...
Probably people think to themselves, if I just create a boundary of this one, then I can balance these other plates that I have. And so you're kind of, in a sense, you've created balance in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a little bit of a misnomer of sorts that you can do that. I think our lives are more like seasons. And this has been something I would say from more of a personal conversation is that I've had seasons of my life where things have been crazy and busy. Where things have been crazy and busy, and I've had seasons of my life where things have slowed down a little bit. And I think there's a sense that that is the normal rhythms of our lives. You know, I think of Ecclesiastes and this idea that there's a time to be born, a time to die,
everything.
That's not Ecclesiastes, it's the birds. Maybe it's Ecclesiastes as well. But I think that's the picture that we might need to view ourselves as, where if you're finding yourself like so burdened in this idea of like, I need to create boundaries in my life so I have more time for this and that or whatever it is, maybe this is a different season for you. Maybe you're in a season of crazy busyness and not as much as in a season of rest. And the hope would be that your life seasons will, and maybe you need to plan for your seasons. That's important.
I was going to say, because sometimes like, I'm in a season where I can't balance it. I just have to pull 80-hour weeks.
Yep.
And that's just life. And it's maddening trying to fit something in that just isn't going to... Yeah, it's not possible.
Or trying to think, I should be able to get this, figure out how to do this well.
Yep.
Even that.
And it's like, no, actually, this season is insane.
Yeah.
And it has to be, and it won't always be. If you're pulling 80-hour weeks every week for 10 years,
unsustainable.
Well, that's
so bad.
So
for boundaries, for like, I'm thinking of your life, Rex, that you have a toddler and you have an infant and a baby, and so you're in a season of life where I'm sure you're like, I need to draw some lines around some things.
Yeah.
Right? So what are the lines that you have to draw around your life right now that you would say are helpful
season.
Boundaries in this season?
Right. Well, in this, I mean, I think you just have to. I think part of it is, you know, and we just talked about centering and that kind of thing, but there's part of it where you realize in a season, my responsibility is for these few things, everything else. I heard someone say you can choose to suck at things sometimes. And so like,
I'm really good at that.
Well, like, so, you know, I'm the worship leader here. I'm the graphics guy here. I'm the website guy here. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend. I like to run, but there in this season, there's certain things I just kind of have to let go. You know, I have to be a little bit less of a good friend possibly so that I can be a better father and husband. I need to be a little bit less good at my job so that I can, you know, take care of an infant, when need be, that kind of thing. So it's one of those things where
that's seasonal.
Yeah. And that's seasonal. Like it won't be this way forever. Cause I remember before Phoebe was born, you know, there, my life was, there was more stuff in there. My life has quieted down, but it's in a good way. And I think that's a better way to look at it. Cause if I was trying to balance, then it's okay, well, I'll add another plate. I'll add another plate with an infant here. Mm-hmm. And that just won't work, you know?
It'll be destructive.
Yeah, it'll be destructive. Things are going to come crashing down, to continue the metaphor. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me end with some hope. If you're a person that finds yourself just with no boundaries, with shot boundaries, in relationships that you cannot, that feel a little codependent, all of these pieces, if you find yourself in an abusive relationship, I think I would point you finally to Scripture. As I was thinking about this and praying about this podcast on boundaries, I wanted to give you a big picture of the God of the universe, who's also the God of the one who comforts us. And I always go to, when I think of that, I think of Isaiah 40, you know, where you have this grand picture of the Creator God who has created all things and is the universe, is the King of the universe, and yet he's also the one who gives rest to the weary and comfort to the people. So just a couple of verses for you today in closing. Isaiah 41, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry for her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Pictures of the Lord's great majesty come later on in Isaiah 40:12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult, and whom made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. And of course, most of us know how this whole thing ends. I can't read it all, but you get to the very end where you get in verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases the strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the word of the Lord for you. If you find yourself struggling with boundaries, the Lord is big enough and strong enough to walk with you. He controls all things and can certainly help in your life as well.
Yeah. He's with you in weariness. Well, that's it for this week. We will we'll be back next week. I think we have one more question, one or two more questions from you guys that we're going to cover, and then we're heading into something exciting that we'll talk to you about in a few weeks. So we will see you later.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.